I'd like to start the interview with your experience. Could you just tell me a little bit about how and when you came to Canada?
I came to Canada in 1990, in January 19, because we came as a government-assisted refugees with my husband and my children. I was 5 months pregnant of my youngest child. And we were fleeing because my husband, he was a human rights lawyer. And I was working with children with disabilities. And we were looking for the protection and the human rights protection for them. But if you remember in 1990s, in the 80s, there was a civil war in my country. And anyone who was talking about the rights of someone was kind of the enemy, no?
Yeah.
Because we were under a dictatorship, military dictatorship, and there was like a really, you have to follow what the government says. You couldn't have a free expression.
Now you're president of the Canadian Council for Refugee. If I'm in China or in another country, I want to come to Canada as a refugee, what I should do?
One of the things that... It's not that easy that you can get the protection of Canada. The first thing is that you need to be recognized as a refugee from the UNHCR, the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees. And then if you need to also be out of your country of origin, and you need to make it, and when you are in another country, in a way that you can come to Canada, the UNHCR has to refer you either to the Canadian government or to the private sponsorship groups. It's more like the private sponsorship group, they receive, like they choose and they want to select refugees from different parts of the world. Right now, the government of Canada, what they have is it's a quota, and they are bringing refugees from different parts, but it's a number of refugees. It's not more in general. They have, it depends on the region of the world, that's the number of refugees that they are they allow to bring to Canada. That's why many people are looking other ways to come to Canada, and sometimes if you arrive at the airport and you can make a refugee claim in Canada, or if you arrive through the United States and you have a relative in Canada, either uncle, aunt, or grandparents or parents or siblings, you can also apply as for refugee in Canada.
When a refugee arrived in Canada, inside Canada, what kind of help he could get from the government or from organizations like non-profit?
Depends. If the person arrives and is a refugee, either there is what they call GARC, government-assisted refugees, they will receive services and assistance from the Canadian government for 1 year, that these services are done by settlement agencies and also reception centers that they receive and welcome the government-assisted refugees, and they help the refugee to start having access either to language, access to, they receive funding for food, home, and for rent, and in a way that they can improve their language. And also, but that one is not free. They receive a loan, no, to come, what they call the transportation loan. When they come, because Canada bring them, it's in a loan, and you start paying when you start working. And also, you receive orientation about employment.
Okay.
Or for your children, access to education. It's different when you come to Canada and claim refugee in Canada.
Okay.
When you come to Canada and claim refugee, you don't receive assistance from the federal government. It depends in which city you arrive or which province, that's the services that you receive. But I can say that the basic services is access to social assistance. You need to have a legal representation because you need to present your case here in Canada to the Immigration and Refugee Board. Some provinces, they have a legal aid certificate. That means that they can apply, they can pay for to have a legal representation. In some provinces, refugee claimants, that's what you are called when you claim refugee, they have access to education, to a school for children, primary, elementary, and secondary. If you are a refugee claimant, you cannot apply for post-secondary because you are considered as an international student and you have to pay the fees as an international student. Also, now, if you come, you are here in Canada, you don't have, depends where are you coming from, which country you are coming, you will have access to health services.
Okay.
And I'm making the difference because when they come as a convention refugee, as a government-assisted refugee, they have one type of services. When they come under the private sponsorship, the private sponsorship group are responsible for the family, for the refugee for a year, but they have access to the settlement services, but they don't have access, full access to the health coverage until they, like if they are in Ontario after 3 months, or if they receive the health, provincial health coverage, no?
Okay.
And if you see, it's different because they try to make that difference. Yeah, always has been happening in here in Canada that refugee claimants is more challenging. And I can say that it's more challenging because besides to start by themselves to resettle and to integrate to a new society, they have to present their case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of limbo situation because they have to, presenting their case, they have to be accepted as a convention refugee. When they are accepted as a convention refugees, then they have access to the federal government programs.
The city of Toronto and the city of Hamilton called sanctuary cities. When refugees come to this kind of city, what kind of extra service they could get?
I can talk about with Toronto and Hamilton, they have more or less the same services, but in the city of Toronto, any person who doesn't have a removal date, they will have access to social assistance. In the sanctuary city of Toronto also, children that the sanctuary city is focused more on refused refugees or people who doesn't have or have a precarious migration, precarious status, but and include with refugee claimants, but they have access to school, to education, to the elementary school and the high school, secondary school. And also one of the things is that the city, they will have access to the city services that there are not that many because the city has very limited services, no? And one of the services that they have access is the recreation services, shelter. For example, any person, doesn't matter what is their status, they have access to shelter if they are homeless. They have one of the, because the motion was passed in this year, the beginning of the year, and it was passed even before, but the more the define of the sanctuary city, the access without fear, and the beginning of this year, the Toronto City Council, they define that any program that is served and funded by the city has to be open to anyone, which means that will be open in the future and hopefully will be for childcare services that they are run by the city and also the public health coverage of the city that is more, is a very limited, but is that they will, which means will impact on women pregnant that have been happening with pregnant women because they can go to the different programs on pregnancy, prenatal program and postnatal program. But as I said, there are some limited services programs because the majority of the programs that the city has are funded by the province, and the province haven't changed their policy.
Okay.
But I think that with the Century City in Access Without Fear in Toronto and Hamilton, it's going to start in another cities, and maybe we can do some, the organizations, they can do some advocacy and try to do a change in Ontario.
Okay. We often hear about bogus refugee. That means people, they are not real refugee. Have you met this kind of people? What do you think about this kind of people?
Well, this is a language that the government uses. And specifically, the Minister of Immigration, who was Jason Kenney, and the actual Minister of Immigration, Chris Alexander, used it. And I think that a refugee, when they come and claim refugee, and anyone, if we see the and we comply with the International Convention for Refugees, and Canada comply with all the treaties that were signed by the Canadian government, shouldn't have that term about bogus refugees, because anyone can claim refugee in Canada. And the decision, and if it is a fair decision, if it is positive or negative decision, that the Immigration and Refugee Board are the ones who decide. In that case, I can tell you that there are some people that they came and they believe and they have, it could be a refugee case stronger than the other persons. But anyone has the right to claim refugee. And until the decision is done, we can consider that they were refused refugees and they become migrants. But I don't think that I haven't faced anyone that I can say is a bogus. I can say that I had facing, because my work with women and children, as you know, I work in an organization that we focus on women and children and youth. And the majority of the women that we don't choose, the women that we accommodate, and the majority of them, they are fleeing persecution because gender. And the majority of them, 90% of them have been accepted.
Okay.
And in that case, I think this is a policy, a decision that the government is doing to try to move Canada from the humanitarian aspect that has been historically to a more economical, and to start doing more to bring more immigrants in economical base than to really protect refugees.
There are another situation that refugees face. It's an authorized consultant who are not really qualified to do this job, consultant job. Have you met their victims?
I have met many victims that even, and I have met people that they have been calling lawyers or consultants, and what they are doing is exploiting the vulnerable. It's a very abusive, because many of them, they are from the same communities, and they give wrong advice. The only what they want to do is a business. And even though there is a regulatory body, it's very difficult to stop them, because the person who comes and claims refugee, they don't have all the information. And when they make a refugee claim, the immigration, they don't give them the proper advice. In Toronto, we are in a kind of a good situation, because when they make a refugee claim, they send them immediately to a program that called First Contact, that is with the Red Cross, and they can give them information and advice. But sometimes they fell in on the cracks, no? And that's one of the situations that that happened. But I have been facing, and I can tell you, like last week, I received a phone call from a lady that someone, even a consultant, that he's not a consultant, and even we knew him in our organization, because when he came, we support him, and he did a volunteer work he used our organization, not the Canadian Council for Refugees, but the organization which I work. He used that organization to try to convince the woman that he will help, will do a good job. And at the end, she was there was no option. The only is that she will be removed. And the only that he did, he took away $1,500 from this woman in detention. It's really unbelievable. And we are talking about the consultants that they work here in Canada, that we should have a complaint system, has to be an accountability for them, even though with the regulatory bodies, the only that they do is they remove the membership. And some of them, they could be, if the people make it the complaint, they can even be with charges, but the majority of the victims, they are gone. Because they are, because their mistakes and their wrongdoing, they have been sent back home, and there is no witness and to testify against them. Also, it's not just here in Canada. It's also even outside Canada, and especially for people that they want to emigrate. You see people coming from other countries with a false job offers.
Oh.
That when they come here with the work permit, they don't have that job doesn't exist. And they get stuck because if they don't have, as a temporary foreign worker, if doesn't have a job, he has to go back to their country. And they have been doing a huge investment.
Yeah.
And this is a real issue. And just to make a regulatory body won't solve the problem.
Unlike most of refugee or immigrant, when they settle down, they start to build up their own life to other job. You decided to link your life to refugees and help them. Why?
Well, why I keep doing, because we, as I said at the beginning, I have a family, complete family, and even I have grandchildren now, because the door was open and I was protected. With my husband and my children. And I think that my commitment, and it's now become my life, it's my lifestyle, is to keep that door open and to keep giving access to people, and especially vulnerable persons. And to keep that door open is that Canada continue welcoming refugees, no matter what is the government that it is, because the most important, and I can tell you, is that I was welcome and the door was open because the Canadian people were struggling and they were advocating that Canada comply with the convention, the international convention. And I feel that I need to continue doing that. And more now that I see that the government is trying to change that perception, that narrative that has been, if you go, and I believe you have been going international outside the country, you have been talking, you see, if you say, I'm Canadian, and they immediately say, oh, you are very nice, you are welcome people. We want to continue with that tradition. And I feel committed that's my commitment, is not to forget why I came, is to maintain my roots. And I invite all the refugees, because that's why I become president of the Canadian Council for Refugees, because we need to keep that voice open and that door open for refugees, because there is millions of refugees around the world, and we need to keep the door open. In 1990 was the door open for refugees from El Salvador. Now has to be open the door for refugees from Syria, from Eritrea, from that welcome them. And to really give them a space where they can integrate the same way that I have that space. And now I'm a successful person.
Thank you, Madame Rico. Thank you.
You're welcome.